reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Isaiah. It's on page 784, and we read Isaiah 56, verses 1 and verses 6 through 8. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness. For soon my salvation will come, and my deliverance be revealed. Continuing at verse 6, and the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it, and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Paul's epistle to the Romans, page 1212. We read Romans 11, selected verses, beginning at verse 1. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. For I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Now, I am speaking to you Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so too they have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is written in the Gospel according to St. Matthew. It's found on page 1049, and we read Matthew 15, beginning at verse 21. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away, for she is crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She said, Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today, where Jesus says to a foreigner, a woman in need, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She said, Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. This is our text. It is not every day that one witnesses a miracle. But my wife witnessed one just this last week. It took place at the Marion Hy-Vee. To give you a little context, not all shoppers are happy. As she checks out people, even people who are receiving all kinds of aid, they come out, they check out with $200 worth of groceries. But because of a few items in the groceries that were taxed, they owe 20 cents. She gets arguments. Angry arguments over the 20 cents. Though they receive so much. Well, there was a big sale at the Marion Hy-Vee last week, and four items were way too popular. And they were no longer in the aisles. Time and again, as my wife was working in the aisles, she would have someone approach them and say, Do you have any more of these? And she would say, I'm sorry, we've run out. We can get you a rain check. This store never has what they put on sale. They just try to lure you in. Angry customer after angry customer kept on approaching her because they were out of stock. Then came the miracle. A customer comes up to her and again asks, Do you have any of these left? She braced herself and said, No, I'm sorry, we're out of stock. And the customer looked at her and said, Oh, that's all right. What a blessing we have to have so many other choices. After they revived my wife with CPR, and I had lunch with her, she shared that story. Which brings us to our text for today. And the idea of, if you will, entitlement. and its relationship to grace. This woman comes up to Jesus. She is a Canaanite woman. She's not one of the people, if you will, that Jesus is sent to. Not that he is not going to die for the sins of the whole world. But Canaanites weren't chosen by God to be the people to receive the world's Savior. She was not the target of the ministry of Jesus. Nevertheless, when Jesus leaves the confines of Israel and goes to the region of Tyre and Sidon, she takes note of him. And she's desperate. She has a demon-possessed child. And she comes up behind Jesus and is crying after him, "O Lord, Son of David, my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But quite obviously, he ignores her. But she keeps crying. We don't know how long this process took place, but it was long enough that the disciples become extraordinarily annoyed by her presence. They go up to Jesus and they beg him. I mean, this has gotten really annoying. They are begging him, "Send her away." And Jesus says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, in your own minds, I'd like you to do a little exercise. Pick out 100 people that you know. Put them in the same position. You've been crying after Jesus, so let's say for 15, 20 minutes to try to get him to help you. He ignores you, although he can certainly hear you. Everybody can hear you. The disciples say, "Get rid of her," to Jesus. And Jesus quite loudly proclaims, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." How many of your 100 people are left at this point? But she does not give up. She's been crying after Jesus. Now apparently she gets in front of Jesus. She kneels right in front of him, blocking his way, and cries out, "Lord, help me." And then she hears this from the lips of our Lord and Savior. "It is not right to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." How many of your 100 people are left? In my book, it's zero. Nobody deserves to be treated like that. He could have been a little nicer. I don't need to take that. Even if my daughter needs help, I'm not going to sink that low. But she remains. "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." She had great faith. But really, what does that mean? To have great faith. To put it simply, great faith has two elements. And the first has to do with our understanding of ourselves. It's what we confess regularly, although we don't really live it regularly. We come in here and we admit before God that as poor, miserable sinners that we are, we deserve nothing but temporal death and eternal punishment. That's what we admit. But is that how we behave at the grocery store? As we conduct our lives with others, why should I have to wait this long? Why should I have to put up with this? What do you mean you're out of stock? How dare you? Are we a people who look at the things that we have in life and say, I don't deserve this? Even though we might have less than others. Or are we a people who think that we deserve better than what we have? And not just in our dealings with other people, but in our own dealings with God. God, why are you letting this happen in my life? God, I've tried to serve you. This shouldn't be happening to me. I've tried to be good. Grace has nothing to do with what somebody deserves. The answer to what you deserve, if you will, is that you ought to get your wages. Grace is not wages. Grace is what you didn't earn. Grace is a gift. And if somehow you think you deserve the mercy of God, if you somehow think that you've earned the blessings that you have, then you're nearly not receiving grace. What was so great about this woman's faith? Well, the first part is what she was asking for Christ was not wages due. It wasn't something that she thinks she deserved. If you will, she acknowledges before Jesus that she's nothing more than a dog, just hoping some scrap falls from the master's table. Not deserving anything, but just waiting in hope. And the other part of faith is that she doesn't give up. She kept on trusting in the mercy of God to help her. Having been ignored, crying out after Jesus, having him heard him say, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. As you get down right in front of him, having him speak to you these words, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She heard all that from the lips of Jesus and still believed that there was mercy in his intent for her. And she was right. Despite all appearances, Christ did love her. She knew who she was. The same thing we confess. Poor, miserable sinner, not deserving anything but eternal death and temporal punishment. But she counted on the mercy and the love of God. And she wasn't disappointed. We are children of grace. And yes, we do confess that. If you will, we practice those words in church. But we really need to take them into our hearts. As we interact with God, as we interact with each other, to see our life as full of blessings we don't deserve. And in that find gratitude, even when all we get is just, if you will, scraps from the master's table. That is the nature of faith. It's not about wages due. It's not about what we deserve. It's about recognizing that we deserve nothing. And that all we do have is an act of God's grace to us. God grant that the type of faith this woman has be the faith we crave in our lives and the faith that guides our living. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeout.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.